Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning, and hopefully we're all enjoying the cool weather. I know I am, working out in it and everything, but it's good to see everybody this morning. Let's go ahead and turn to page 240 in our hymn books, The Lily of the Valley, and let's stand as we sing page 240.
I have a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to do is make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every mirror of him we roll. Hallelujah! He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows more. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all in him forsaken and all my battles torn. From my heart and knees he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah! He's the city of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, or yet forsake me here. While I live my faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all fire about me, I've nothing left to fear. With his hand, he could cover his fear. Sweeping up the glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight will flow.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen.
Brother Stephen, you mind opening some prayer this morning? Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right, page 183. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
183. There is a name I love. It sounds like music in my crying the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of my Father's heart, His sore for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, His sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. If there's someone whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, there's a part that does me very low. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see everyone today. Appreciate you coming. Do have the new calendars out. And I also have our faith promise. Those that might not have got one or lost one or whatever, dog ate it, you ate the dog, I don't know. Anyway, there are some on the front table if you need one. I would please, if you can, and I know I probably got some that's listening on YouTube that I've had to mail, and it's not because of the U.S. Postal Service, it's because your pastor was slacking. And so it is on the way. If it trickles in, that's great. I don't know if Allie's put her 100,000 in for the year yet, but if that comes in, if something significant comes in, we'll change that. All right, but otherwise, we're going to drive on. And don't hesitate to continue to turn it in, please. Don't say, well, it's too late, don't worry about it. Go ahead, turn that in, and we'll make account for what we need to account. And do ask you to pray for safety for the church. Do ask you to pray for the president and his recovery. You say, preacher, I don't like the president. I really don't care. I don't know the man. All I'm saying is he's our president. God put him there. Pray for him. Amen. I guess what irritates me about our country is we feel like well, if that's not the one I want, then I'm just going to have a pouting party. Praise the Lord. There's been some presidents that I haven't really cared for. And yet I still had to say that they are my president and they're my commander-in-chief. And, I'm sorry. You lose. Guess what? Be a big sport. And go, all right, I'll support them. Amen. And you say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm not preaching politics. I'm just preaching truth. And by the way, I am so tired of our selfish nation. Sis Sarah and we had ran to go to Statesboro Friday. And Sister Sarah suited up and she went into Goodwill and she's looking around. And so she's standing over here and this customer is telling one of the employees how she had just came from the hospital and got tested and is waiting for the report back. Well, no, she had a mask. But who cares? The deal is, if you think you have it, stay home. Not to mention, she had shopped who knows where in that store. Sarah's like, all right, I'm done. Amen. That's where we live today. Well, you know, if I've got it, you can get it too. I'll be glad to high-five you. Amen. Well, that was free. not part of my notes. I'm excited about today. Faith Promise Missions Conference was supposed to start today. I said, preacher, why would you be excited about it? Because we've already had a month of it. Amen. I'm telling you, you've already got more Faith Promise Missions messages than without a conference than we would with a conference. I'm not saying anything about the preacher. I'm saying in amounts, all right? You tally it up. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, you're the one that called them in. The messages would have been great. Amen. I'm just saying you got more of them. Amen. All right. Well, Callie's got a birthday coming up, and with that, she has brought a box full of goodies. So if there's some goodies on that table or on the bench, there's some goodies there that you'd like, feel free to them. And thank Callie. It was her birthday, so she decided to give them to us. Amen. Amen. And so we need to sing happy birthday to her. 17, correct? Coming up 17 on the 9th. Amen. Amen. So with that, she won't be long. She'll start shaving. Amen. And no, I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry. That's Caleb. just right there beside each other. I was looking there. And amen. No, you pray for Callie. 17 years old. That's important. Amen. Dangerous years. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, because Satan, as much as he desires to get them as young as he can get them, he'll do everything he can to not quit. And that's a very impressionable age. A lot of changes, a lot of just stress. And so you pray for her and pray for all of our teens. We've got some, and some that think that they're not teens anymore just because Michaela went to college doesn't mean she's not needing prayer as well. Amen. So let's sing happy birthday to Callie. Thank her for the food that she brought. Amen. And sing out like you mean it. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We got two missionaries here with us today, and excited to hear from them. And so I hope that this has been a blessing to be able to have Faith Promise Missions in such a way. You know, it hasn't stopped us. Amen. Trying to protect and trying to do, but we've continued to focus and drive on, and I'm thankful God's work continues to move on. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, brother, you got another song?
All right, let's stand and turn to page 397. 397. Little as much when God is in it. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little spark when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you call the labor sing some love, little love? It is great if God is in it, and if not, forget it all. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside for service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the harvest in the sacred place of prayer. Feels much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict is ended and a race on earth is run, he will
say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child of the village lights, when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, what a blessing. I have Brother Rakesh here, and then right after him will be Brother Peter. Peter Tamai, which is the one that we heard about last week. That is Brother Stephen's uncle, or I'm sorry, cousin. That is also, this young man has been going to his Bible Institute over there. And Brother Peter, I kind of saved him for last because of all the work that he's doing and how God has richly blessed in his ministry. You're going to see in such a short amount of time.
Rakesh Kumar Gupta. I was born and brought up in a Hindu Orthodox family, and my father is a strict in Hindu and they hate Christianity. And my father is a businessman, my mother is a housewife, and two brothers, they are also doing a business. My father is a well-learned, educated and well-reputed in the town, and they hate Christianity. They say that it is a foreign religion. I really thank my family that they have helped me in studying Bachelor of Commerce. As I graduated in 2010, I was working in marketing company and did some business as my job. As usual, in 2014, at the end of December, I used to hang around with my childhood friend, and I saw something different in his life, and he became a Christian and he has accepted Jesus Christ, and he shared me gospel. For the first time I heard about Jesus Christ, gospel, good news. And he told me very little, and he gave me a Bible tract to read, John 3:16. And later on, 2015, some of the church members, they visited me, and they shared their life journey in Christ, how they have changed and forsaken the idolatries. And I was believing that all God is same, but day by day I was learning and started knowing the differences between them. And one day a preacher asked me, Rakesh, are you 100% sure if you die today, will you go to heaven? By hearing this question, Holy Spirit convicted in my heart to accept Jesus Christ. At that point also, I was not yet converted. And as my parents, they live in an Indo-Bhutan area, my parents and one preacher came from Bethlehem Baptist Church, Dimapur, Nagaland, in Indo-Bhutan area, and he shared me Bible, shared from the Bible, the gospel, the good news, and Romans Road. And till that time also, I was not yet born again. And but in my heart, I was a curiosity to learn. And I went hidingly to the Bible college and without telling anyone and to know more about Jesus Christ. And as a Hindu, I went to Bible college. And later on in 2015, July, in the When pastor was preaching the gospel about Jesus Christ, I remember the date that 17th July. I kneeled down and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I accepted Jesus Christ 100%, and I surrendered my life and gave my life to Him. And on 2nd August 2015, I was baptized. And after college, I came back in my home. My father was very angry with me, and he told me that you have become a well-learned mad person. And he used to see all the in my pocket that I used to carry a Bible tracts to give out to the people. And he was telling me that by giving a Bible tracts, your stomach will be filled. And in this way, they did not help me and support me to study in Bible college. But thank God that that God has helped me to contact with Dr. Peter Thumai. And right now, I have finished my MTS in Master Theology from Baptist Graduate School of Theology and Mission in Dimapur, Nagaland, which is run by Dr. Peter Thumai. And he helped me to study there under Wach Scholarship. And I'm also got engaged with a God-fearing girl and waiting for my graduation. But due to lockdown pandemic, COVID-19, our graduation and marriage program has been postponed. And right now, at this point of time also, I am right in mission field in Siliguri. And here I am teaching the children. Now there are around more than 60 children and visiting the houses and telling about the love of Jesus Christ. And I know that God has called me to be a church planter and in Uttar Pradesh, in Lucknow. And in Uttar Pradesh is a state where 200 million population is there, and there is a great persecution and challenges are there. And in that place, there is 0.07% of Christianity. And there is a great opportunity to share gospel also. And please pray for me, and also for the souls in Uttar Pradesh. And I will be not going home, but I will be going in mission field. Thank you.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Once bread headhunters lived in this place, but by the grace of God, gospel came to this place in the year 1950s, 1970s, and 1990s. So these bread headhunters became the soul hunters, and preaching the gospel all over Northeast India. And they have planted thousands of Baptist churches. And the gospel also brought to my village in the year 1993. On May 2nd, 1993, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord. And right away, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ and committed my life to serve Him as full-time missionary. As missionary, I have preached in many parts of southern China, Tibet, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and many states in India. And also I have committed my life to be a church planter, and God allowed me to plant 154 house churches in southern China, Bhutan, and also some other gospel-restricted areas in South Asia. And presently, we have planted 42 Baptist churches, and these churches are planting more Baptist churches in the areas. At present, we are working on planting 4 more Baptist churches, but because of this pandemic, COVID-19, we are not able to organize the local church yet. Please come in to pray for us. And we are not only a missionary, not only church planter, but we also training next generation church planters, missionaries, pastors. So from this Baptist Graduate School of Theology and Mission, and also from our teaching and training ministry, we have so far trained 650 young preachers, church planters, missionaries. They are planting churches, preaching the gospel all over South Asian countries. We have aims and goals from our college that we would like to train 2,000 church planters, missionaries for this region, South Asian countries, gospel-restricted countries. At present, we have 103 students. Due to lockdown or pandemic, students cannot be here. Otherwise, we have 103 students at present. They are training here to become pastors, church planters, and also missionaries after graduation from here. And we would like to build one of the largest Baptist Bible colleges in this region, so that we are able to send missionaries to China, Tibet, Bhutan, Nepal, and many parts of India, Thailand, Myanmar, and Cambodia. They are our neighbors. So please come in to pray for this ministry. I'd like to show you a little facility we have. Okay, this is temporary ladies' hostel built in a few days by our students. Okay, this is the living rooms. Okay, this is dining hall. This is Baptist Bible College building. We just started, but due to COVID-19, we could not continue. Please continue to pray for us. Okay, this is our water facility where hundreds of students draw water for their needs from this well. All right, this is our classrooms. Recently, we built as a temporary classrooms. We have 5 rooms for classes. And our students will be learning the Bible, the Word of God from this place. These are the rooms. These are the chairs. These are the books. These are the lectern. And here is Jen's dormitory. Preacher boys will come and stay here. This is their living room, and these are their rooms, and this is, oh well, yes, we have not fixed yet, Western toilet, right, so we have 2 toilets for 20 young preacher boys. They will have rush hour in the morning. Okay, these are the rooms. Please pray for young preachers. Like Bethlehem Baptist Church and the church prophet chamber will be built in this ground. Recently, we have prayed and dedicated this ground for the church, Bethlehem Baptist Church, and also prophet chambers. Of course, presently, chicken are housing here. These are our chickens. Lovely chickens. Our food. We are praying to build one of the largest Baptist Bible colleges in this region to train church planters, missionaries, to serve the Lord, and also to plant the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel-restricted areas in the southern China, Tibet, Bhutan, Myanmar, Nepal, and different parts of India. So this is the main administrative Baptist Bible College building. And due to lockdown, due to COVID-19, we are not able to continue the work. Please continue to pray for us so that we will build the classrooms, library, and the offices as our administrative building. We are planning to build 4 stories building in this facilities, property. Please pray for us. Thank you so much. God bless you.
That we find is that they're not too good. That's a disadvantage here in America. We've got to the place that unless it's catered to us and it's shipped in, I don't need it. And that's to our fault. And so I ask you to pray for them. There's a lot of work going on in India. Is it not encouraging to hear how God's gospel is getting into areas that they say that the gospel can't get? You know, that's encouraging to me. That's exciting to me to realize that they're able to reach those that they say that you can't reach. Brother Bob Patton, our missionary, he's in Indiana right now. It's right by India. But he's in Indiana right now, kind of at the Indiana-Kentucky border area. And he's been in and out of the Philippines, doing work over there, but he used the Philippines when he could get kicked out of China, and then he was back, and then he would get kicked out of China, and he said, well, you can't really plant churches without them knowing you're planting churches, because eventually it gets too large. And you'd say, well, preacher, how do you do that? They've got house churches. Did you hear how many house churches they have? May I tell you that America has polluted the idea of religion in this idea that it has to be so large and it has to be so flashy. It may very well be that we come to the place where we're going to be small little groups. This whole idea of having thousands and running a church of 3,000 or some of these mega churches and the Joel Osteens and the Rick Warrens in this world that say, boy, look at how big and flashy we are, that's a false religion. That's a false religion. And so it's very possible that in these latter days, for us to get the gospel out, it may be the little house churches. I'm not talking about the contemporary Christian movement of little cell groups where the blind's leading the blind. That's not at all what I'm talking about. But I am talking about the truth being spread in those house churches. When a missionary goes over to plant a church, he starts off in the house. The Apostle Paul, they started off. In fact, the disciples, when they were sent out, they started off within that house. And then they grew to that. They grew to that place. So, amen. Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew 25. When you get there, let's get in your get-ready position. Amen. See how many were paying attention Wednesday night. And we'll get ready. Amen. Matthew chapter number 25. I don't know what I'm preaching next week, so I don't know if I'm bold enough to say that this is your last 2 messages on Faith Promise Missions, but I really want you to pay attention like it's your last messages you'll ever hear. because I really believe as I've read this passage of Scripture, God has spoke to my heart. I've preached it before, seen souls saved, but I'd like to preach it in a way that we look at missions today. In Matthew chapter 25, I'd like us to look at verse number 1, and we'll look at verses 1 through 13. And I'm not going to give you something new, but I do want to give you an idea from this passage that God laid on my heart. In fact, tonight, I about broke down in tears for the message tonight. Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise in verse 8, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10, And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for a burden for missions. Lord, a heart for souls. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, that we would not be distracted in the light of the fancies of today. That Lord, they really feed the flesh. They really appease and comfort our carnal ways. But Lord, I pray that today we'd be willing to step out in a new light with a new desire and a new direction. And Lord, I just pray that your will would be done. Be with the message today. Lord, I'm thankful it's able to go over YouTube. I pray that you would allow it to go through and no glitches. But Lord, I pray as well for the souls that hear it. Lord, that we would first search and seek our own. Lord, that we would examine our own heart and our own life. And Lord, see, first of all, if you know us. But then, Lord, as well, that if we are like the wise with no heart for missions. Father, help us today to be honest with you and to be honest with ourselves. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I would ask us today, if we were to look around at our world, what would we really see? Would we see a world of confusion, of hatred, of turmoil? Would we see sheep without a shepherd? Would we see a dark world needing the lamp of faith and the lamp of truth? I was just thinking as I was pinning this down yesterday about the joy that I had as we had looked Wednesday night and we had seen, as the Apostle Paul had reminded the churches in Galatia there in chapter 4 and verse number 9 of Galatians, and he had said, but now after that ye had known God, or rather are known of God. And boy, what a joy we have to realize that it's not just the fact that we know Him, but it's the fact that He knows us. I want you to look at this passage and we see what an awful thing it is. Those foolish virgins thought they knew Him.
But what they really didn't understand is that he didn't know them. You see, in verse number 12, he says, "I know you not." And how awful it is to hear those words. But what really amazes me is that they didn't see their need from the wise. They didn't see anything different from them and the other five. You see, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, "But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." May I tell you that what the five wise didn't do was produce any light for the five foolish to realize that there was something different. And so really I find the saddest part, yes, the very saddest part is the fact that Jesus said, I know you not. But the second saddest is that the five wise didn't reach the five foolish. And they were right there the whole time. And the Bible tells us here that they were all together. They all practiced together. And we'll look at this in greater detail in a moment. But I want us to understand something, that they all started out on the same sheet of music. Some of you have already noticed our new decorations. They're not really new. They're just for the illustration today. But may I tell you, each one of these is the same. They are setting in the same direction. If you notice, both of them have the knob on the same side. Jacob, this is where OCD comes in. They're setting in the same place on the runner. Their globes are the very same. Their base is the very same. May I tell you that every lamp, now the lamps of today have this, but every lamp, that's the chimney. I know some of you are going to say, I thought that was the globe. No, that's actually the chimney. That did not come into existence until 1780s. But every lamp is required a vessel. Every lamp is required a lamp. This part here is actually called the lamp. It's nice when it's tight. Amen. Then this is the device to bring whatever's in the vessel to be burnt. We call it a wick. But every lamp must have these three areas in order to be a lamp. Let me show you. I know some of you are going to go, "Preacher, we're going to have fire in church." We are. Isn't it great? Amen. What's the difference in these two? And some of you are going to say, "Preacher, that one's got a globe and this one doesn't." No. If I need to, I can take the other globe off or the other chimney off, however you want to look at it. What's the difference? Now, all right now, one's got a fire on it, doesn't it? One's got a light that's coming out of it. Now, this is what we see with these five whys in Faith Promise Missions. I simply titled this, "The Lamp of Faith Promise Missions." The lamp of Faith Promise Missions. Notice, if you would, the picture of the lamps. We look here, and within this account, we find the five virgins. We find the virgins. They're all the same. They all look the same. They're all doing the same acts. They're all doing the same principles. Everything about them is identical in this account. I'm talking about the lamp. This little portion right here that takes in account. Those virgins all had a lamp that was the same. The difference came in the vessel. The vessel was the area that was going to hold the oil. As I burn the church down. Is going to hold the oil. The oil, I should have asked for someone's lighter. I guarantee, this is a Baptist church. I guarantee you someone's got a lighter. Amen. Yeah, I don't have any deacons. Anyway, and Sister Sarah doesn't bring her lighter. She just uses it to smoke cigars. Amen. But the difference was the vessel. You say, preacher, I thought you said these vessels are the same. Oh, they are, but it was what it was inside of the vessel. You see, oil was required to be in that vessel. And so as we look, the lamp is absolutely pointless without the oil to burn. And so we look here. And we find that the virgins were all the same, but their vessels were different. There was something different in them. In verse number 3 and 4 of our text, the Bible says, "And they that were foolish took their lamps," and notice this, "and took no oil with them." May I tell you what's happened today in America? God has given the hand of blessing upon America. I'm telling you, you don't realize how blessed we are until you start seeing some of the conveniences that we have. You don't understand how good God has been to America. And boy, we take that little lamp, that little blessing that He gives us, and we begin to run off and we say, look, everything's great. I've got a man that I used to work with that I loved him. I witnessed to him constantly. And he'd always tell me, look at how God's blessed me. But what he didn't realize is he had no oil. He just had the lamp. Look on in verse number 4. In verse number 4 of our text, it says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Now we know, and I'm going to cut to the chase here, the oil is representation of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, the difference is, it's the Holy Spirit. And the importance is the Holy Spirit. I want you to hold your place in Matthew chapter number 25, but I want you to look into the Old Testament. I want you to look over at the book of Exodus, chapter number 27. Now, I'm going to have you hold your place here in Exodus just for a couple minutes. But look in chapter number 27. I want you to look at verse number 20. I want to speak a little bit about this oil for a moment. I want you to see what a blessing it is about this oil. There's something to be said about this oil, that it burnt without smoke. It didn't irritate the eyes. Has anyone smelled this oil yet? Has anyone noticed the fumes from it? Anyone been irritated by it? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit of God is not an irritant. But it's going to shine the right light. Now look at verse number 20 of Exodus 27. "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee," notice this, "pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn," when? "Always. In the tabernacle of the congregation, without the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel." I want to explain this to you. This was in the holy area, but not the holy of holies. You see, this was the area that they would come, and this oil was to be shining, and it was to give that light, and it was supposed to come to that place that they were to keep it trimmed and to keep it neat and to keep it going when it would get too high, and it would produce a shadow or an area that you couldn't see correctly. They would trim it down a little bit and they would make it set the way that it was supposed to set. And this was their testimony. It was to be there all the time. It was a continual burning. It was a continual lamp. It was always supposed to emit the light. And it was the oil that made the difference. Pure oil. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? It was the oil that made the difference in the 10 virgins. 5 had it and 5 did not. You see, in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Hold on a second. Think about this for a moment. The Holy Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. May I tell you that when you have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in you, he can't tell you, he doesn't know you. Amen. I think about 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's this treasure? The Holy Spirit. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You say, preacher, that's all great, that's all fine and dandy, but what? How does this lamp apply to faith promise missions? You all notice that lamp? May I tell you the interpretation, and we're going to look at this here in just a moment, but we're finding here that each one was responsible to have their oil or not have their oil. I want you to understand salvation is not a collective idea. It's an individual possession. I cannot give my salvation to my boys and my wife. They have to come to the place that either they have oil in their vessel or they don't. Amen. Either they've came for salvation or they haven't. Let me show you over in the book of Exodus. We look as well. I believe it's chapter 25. In chapter number 25, I want you to look at verse number 31. I'd like to explain this lamp or this candlestick, if you would. You said, preacher, I thought it was a lamp. Well, now you're talking candlesticks. If you would allow me to show you here, and in this passage of Scripture, we'll see where they're synonymous. That means that you can use them the same. I didn't want Brother Richard to go away confused. Amen. I figured I better explain that. Exodus 25, look at verse number 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. That means that there's going to be seven, all right? Picture this with me. Here's a candlestick. There's three that come this way and three that come that way. I only have two hands, so picture this, all right? And so, y'all are lost with me now. There's seven because you have three on this side, one in the middle, and another three, all right? Take your shoes off if you need. That's seven. Now, as this is coming around, there's seven here. Notice in verse number 33. Three bowls. This is going to hold the oil. This is the vessel. Three bowls are made like unto almonds, with the knop and a flower and one branch. And three bowls are made like almonds on the other branch, with the knop and the flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers, and there shall be a knop under two branches and of the same, and the knop under two branches of the same, and knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Notice verse 36. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. It shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And look at verse 37. And thou shalt make the seven lamps, the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. But the lamps themselves didn't have the light. The oil produced the light. They were the light holder. Now, individually, this is saying that we are individually light bearers. We are to shine that light. We are to be that witness for Christ. And as we think about these 10 virgins, 5 of them were to be a light bearer because the other 5 had no oil in their vessel, so they couldn't bear any light. And yet we find that they weren't. You say, preacher, how does this apply to faith promise? Because I would like to look at an application that goes bigger than just the individual. Remember how I told you it takes one? Brother Peter, let's just use Brother Peter Tamai as an example there. It just takes one. God took a man that got saved and got on fire. I even like Brother Rakesh's testimony. I gave 100%. I got saved 100%. Boy, I love that. I'm telling you, you need to move to America and show them what getting saved and giving 100% means. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of people that don't know it. What they think is that it means that I've got my card and now I can live my life. And then when I die, then everything's fine. I got my card to get into heaven. Whew, I'm telling you, I'm afraid a lot of things are going to be burned up. Amen? And so, I can't help but realize that it took one to start. But then it grows. And it becomes, in the application, if you would, larger than one. May I tell you, this applies to the church. We could look at this, and now listen. You say, preacher, you're talking about five churches need to win five. No. Hold on a second. But may I tell you that if everyone in here is a light bearer, that the light that comes out of the church should be bigger. That means that the church should be a light bearer. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm confused. But I believe that if every one of us are wanting to witness to the Lord, or witness for the Lord, and we're wanting to win the lost, that means that the church collectively should be, one big lamp. Now, can I show you what's happened? You don't need to hold your place in the book of Exodus, but turn over the book of Revelation. Let me show you this same candlestick, if I could. You remember there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, that it told us that it was one pure gold. May I tell you, it was as pure as they could get it, but I'd like to show you this pure gold candlestick in Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to read it to where you can get an understanding for it. In Revelation chapter number 1, I'd like you to look at verse number 12. Revelation 1 and verse number 12. It's amazing that we find God's work beginning on earth through the tabernacle. And I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I'm not the tabernacle. And that was speaking to the tabernacle, and the church isn't the tabernacle. But in the New Testament, I find that we are the tabernacle. Now, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about us. And then I find that since we're in the church and we all come together, may I tell you that we all become one. And we're to walk in agreement in one accord. And then I come to Revelation, and I look at chapter 1, and I look at verse number 12. He says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. What did he see? The very same thing that was in the holy room of the tabernacle. You remember who was to work it? Aaron and his sons. You remember who's the chosen one? It's not Aaron. Aaron was a picture of Christ. Notice this. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Oh, if I could, I want to paint this picture for you for a moment. I find here that John looks in. I can just see him. He's already timid. Now listen. He's already timid. God's already called him up so that he can get a vision of heaven. And he can see what's really taking place. And I can see him peeking in. And he sees that seven golden candlesticks. And he sees that one that's in there. That one that he had laid his head down on his chest. And he's girt about the paps. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means he's wanting to do a work. And he's in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks. He's wanting to do a work. And you say, well, preacher, what's so important about this work that's to be done? Look on down into verse number 20. In verse number 20, Jesus explains the mystery of these candlesticks. He says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. He's speaking about the pastors. the messengers, if you would. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May I tell you the problem of the lamp? Not just the picture of the lamp. I'd like to explain to you the problem of the lamp. The first area that I find is that they were dim. They produced very little light. Has anyone noticed how bright this is? Now, it's up a little bit right now. You could actually see it. Can you all see that? Tell me when you can't see it. You know it's still burning. It is. It's still right there. See, look. See it? Yeah, see, it's still there. But you can't really see it, can you? I mean, if I was to sit back here, I really wouldn't even know it was on. I thought about lighting the other one, but I didn't do it because I didn't want it to get knocked over. I think I'm doing good controlling one. So, we just got the bus insurance. We've already paid the insurance for in here, but I don't know about y'all. We've already went through a flood. I don't want to go through a fire. Amen. And may I tell you what was wrong with their light? It was dim. It was dim. In verse number 8, I'd like you to look at verse number 8 with me real quick of our text. It says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil." May I tell you that they already knew what they were missing. In verse number 8, as we think about this being dim and producing such little light, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. May I tell you, the whole time that they were sitting there waiting, the lamp that was out looked the same as the lamp that was lit. Now listen, I know some of you are going, "Preacher, I don't see that. Do those two look the same?" I can see a little glow. And if it was really, really, really dark, you might be able to tell more of a glow. But may I tell you, you can't really see a fire, can you? And it wasn't until they trimmed their lamps, it wasn't until they brought it up to where the fire could even be seen, that it was noticeable that they didn't have anything going. That they didn't have any oil. And so it was dim. I find that it's very possible that they were able to produce smoke and not light. You say, "Preacher, how's that?" Well, do you notice, and if I was to put this chimney on here, Sister would love me, because I've got this up high enough. Do y'all see that? You see the black coming off? Sarah loves that. You know what causes that? Impurities. I know some of you are going to say, "Preacher, I thought it was too long of a wick." I'm going to explain that in a minute. Impurities cause that. Impurities in the oil. That's kerosene that's for a burning lamp that's in here. You know what's very possible? This church, or these five, we're just talking about how good they were and what all they could do. They had the right look. Oh, they didn't cuss. They didn't say things that were wrong. They didn't listen to the wrong music. They showed up on time, Brother Richard. Amen. And didn't even blame it on the baby. Amen. I figured that Brother Richard was going to blame it on little Silas. Can you believe that? That's right. That lazy baby wouldn't even walk. Amen. Who cares if he's only 12 days old and happened to shave? Amen. Callie, he shaves younger. Amen. But you look at this. And you think about the impurities that so often we produce as a church. Now, we've been here a while. I was looking, I wrote down on the calendar, Sister Evelyn's birthday is the 25th. That'll be 14 years since I became pastor. And I was just thinking of all the times in witnessing to folks, and what they'll often say is, "Oh, you're from that church." May I tell you, they don't have a clue what church we really are. They just know what they've been told. "We're from that church." "Oh, you mean the one that preaches the Bible?" Yep, that's the one right there. I'm all right with that. But think about this. So many times, it's all about, you know, I was reading, we got the water bill And Pembroke lets you know what all's been going on in Pembroke or what's going to go on. And it's amazing how Beulah Baptist and First Baptist and the Christian Church are all sponsoring the Trick and Treat drive-thru up here in town. You say, "Preacher, boy, we need to get our name on there." No, we don't. No, we don't. If anything, we need to go out there and protest it and say how that's Satan's holiday. Amen. And you know the field that we had our first tent meeting in that they wouldn't let us have the next time that I wanted it? And now it's not known as the City Field. It was because they were going to be building on it. Now, mind you, that was 2 years ago. Miss Betty, I'm glad we didn't have it there. We had it over there in Deloach Square or Dubose Square. And they're going to have a drive-in movie of Hocus Pocus. Isn't that great? We ought to go set up the tent. Amen. And we'll set it across the road. Amen. I don't care. Hey, I got a car hauler trailer. We'll set it up on there. Amen. We'll just circle that whole area. I'm not trying to be spiteful, but I'm wondering about what impurities we really have that we're producing. I think as well about this, maybe it was the fact that the wick is too long. And boy, we've got that wick up there. You know what that wick usually does. When it starts producing a lot of smoke, it just shows the wick. Shows how good the wick is. I mean, it gets irritating when you think about that light just a flickering and flashing. Maybe it's the fact that, you know why they put the chimney on it in 1780s? Because the mariners had decided that it was too hard to keep that going without something over it because the wind off the sea would blow out the light. Makes sense, doesn't it? It's amazing to me that it took them that long. I can see that need right away. And, you know, what usually happens is our light gets blown by the wind. I'm not just talking about every wind of doctrine, but every wind of distraction. And so I look and I find that they were dim, but then I look as well and I find that they were drained. They were drained. Has anyone noticed how much oil is in this one? Can you see it? You see it? Brother Jackie, you're all the way. Brother James, you're all the way in the back. Can you see the oil in the lamp? Now, some of you would have to come up closer. But you know both of them have oil in them, even though they're clear oil. Now, I was going to get good and I was going to actually put it out. But may I tell you that I'm loud. I know that. I like to have a hallelujah fit. Boy, I'm telling you, we get some preachers a-preaching, and boy, I'll just have a time. I don't care if anyone else does or not. I'm just going to have a time. And you'd say, boy, you know, they're on fire. Look at them trying. No, hold on a second. I'm not having it for anyone else. I'm having it for me. But may I tell you that even if you're not, and you're just in peace with the Lord, you can tell that you have oil in the vessel. The others knew that they weren't going to catch on fire because they had no oil. But they didn't know that the others were any different from them. They didn't see their oil a-shining because they didn't see their flame of going until it was time to go. You know, I sat down and I realized how good God's been to us. And I think about our Faith Promise missions and I think about all that God's done and I can't help but go, But in the same sense, I'm not sure that when it's time to go, we're not going to go, oh. Because may I tell you that there's not a single one of us in this room that have given in such a way. That we've given past God. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about faith promise. Listen, I don't want you to go out and say, boy, I'm just going to write down some number so that we can have a higher budget. That's not at all what I'm getting at. But what I am getting at is, isn't it amazing that we want to be a light, but we don't want to be full? You see, is it easier to tell? No, it's easier so that when the winds are blowing, you're not going to run out. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I can't ever run out. Oh, but we can quench it, can't we? We got some tiki torches at the house, and you say, "Preacher, why is that?" Well, I don't know. What all the cool people do, I guess. Amen. And so we got these tiki torches out there, and we've had some times. They've got these cool little things that, well, they're a wick snubber thingy. You put it over it. What it really does is it protects the wick so that when the water comes off the top of the house, it doesn't soak the wick. Amen. Say, "Preacher, what's so important about that? Have you ever tried to light it when it's wet?" It is not fun. You know what happens to us as we quench the Holy Spirit? We may have oil, but we don't have much fire. We don't have much fire. Our cup needs to be running over. They were drained. They were drained. I find as well that they were disregarded. These lamps that they had, the problem wasn't just that they were dim. It wasn't just that they were drained. It was that they were disregarded. I find here in our text that when the call goes out at verse number 6, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," then all those virgins, this isn't just speaking about the five foolish, this is the five wise as well. Then they get up. And they make sure everything's in place. I still got a light. I'm still going. Why? I know it tells us, and I'm going to preach this tonight, that they all slumbered and slept while they waited on the bridegroom. But may I tell you that we're sleeping spiritually, but we're feasting fleshly. We are so distracted in this world that missions, and as much as we've set aside, and boy, we're going to have missions, and we're a mission-giving church, and we're a faith-promised mission-giving church, and I know that. I'm not trying to beat you up. But I wonder what would happen if every one of us would really look back and see what we're distracted in. It shames me to see these missionaries in these other countries when I hear these nationals. I'm not talking about our missionaries that go. To be honest with you, I'm so upset with our own missionaries in the amounts of money that they have. It ticks me off. It really does. Your pastor gets upset with it. I'm just showing you some frustration that I have, but I think it's ridiculous when some of those go over and boy, they're able to survive well. I'm not saying that they need to be in poverty. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I do think that I don't know. Anyway, I'll shut up. But these men, you know what their burden is? It's not so that they can go and have some great name. It's not so that they can be the next David Livingston. It's not so that they can be the next Charles Spurgeon. That's not at all. No, what they care about is the souls. I wonder if we've been distracted from the very reason that we have Faith Promise Missions. Is there still souls around us? I think it's sad that their lamp of Faith Promise Missions was disregarded until it was time for the Savior to come. I noticed as well, I know this isn't much of a shouting message, but it'll be okay. I find the purpose of the lamps. I find the purpose of the lamps. We were up here before service, and we were talking about the lamps. And if it's all right, I'm going to blow this out before the preacher knocks it over and we catch everything on fire. But we were discussing, Brother Russell was up here, Brother James was up here. And first thing Brother James has said is, "Boy, where'd we get those?" And talking about when the electricity went off. He was saying how, was it your grandparents' brother? Didn't have electricity, and he would try to read by that. And it didn't put out a whole lot of light. But I'm telling you, it puts out a whole lot of light when the electricity's off, doesn't it? The whole reason we have them, and the reason that there's oil in both of them is because, well, you need oil to get it to burn. And you don't pull them out until you need an illustration at church or there's a hurricane. Amen. And so you consider this idea. Well, what was the purpose of it? To disperse the darkness. May I tell you, we live in a dark time. I'm not just talking about wicked dark time. I'm talking about confused dark time. Over in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, and I'm not going to make you turn over there, but over in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, we find the Apostle Paul and Silas, as they had went to the town of Philippi, and they had preached the gospel, and then they had this woman that was a soothsayer, a fortune teller in today's idea, and may I tell you, there is no such thing as good magic. Amen? It's all Satan's. Amen. It all belongs to him. I know some say, well, preacher, why are you so against Halloween? Because it's Satan's holiday. I'm a child of living. I'm a child of light. And that's Satan's holiday. Amen. He's the one, the darkness. I'm thankful that it's the light that gets rid of the darkness. And so, boy, this woman had followed him around, and she had even said the truth. She said that, hey, they're the prophets of God. They're the ones that serve the living God. And Paul had had enough. And he said, all right, you need to go. And he didn't talk that way to the woman. No, he cast out the demon. Amen. Because I guess to think like that, you must have a demon. So may I tell you, when you call a soothsayer, when you call a fortune teller, amen. What the problem is they're demon possessed. And, well, the ones that made money off of her didn't like it. So they reported Paul and Silas. They got beat for it. They got thrown. The Bible tells us that they were taken to the jailer and given to the responsibility of the jailer. He thrust them in the innermost part of the jail. And you know what they did? They made sure that their lamp was all the way down and no one could see that. And you know, this was well before their time, but they put the chimney on there and they made sure that no one could tell anything was taking place. Nope, that's not at all what they did. Instead, they begin to pray and praise the Lord. And you know what happened? Maybe I need to relight this. Amen. In the dark, in the innermost parts, when the wicked was at its best or its worst, however you look at it, and everything seemed like it was done and the daylight would never come, there was an earthquake. You say, preacher, I thought it couldn't get any worse. No, it got better. All their chains fell off. Amen. You say, preacher, everyone was freed. Well, they could have been. But it was even better. The jailer and the little jailees and Mrs. Jalen, they all got saved. Amen. You know what we need today? To let folks know that, hey, listen, it's the midnight hour. It's the darkest of hours. But I've got a light to shine. I've got a lamp of Faith Promise Missions. I've got a lamp to show you that these dark days, oh, it's not really as dark as you think. There's one that's still in charge. He's still on the throne. Oh, it doesn't matter what COVID's going to have. Oh, you know, listen to me. Scary times, is it not? President's got COVID. Vice President's being tested. And of course, his has came back negative thus far. And if he gets it, and if they get put to where they can't be in charge, you know who takes over next, right? And you look at that, and you think about the order of progression there, and you go, boy, preacher, what are we going to do? It doesn't matter. I know who's in charge. Amen! Hey, you say, preacher, what's going to happen if China invades? What's going to happen if we have another terrorist attack? What's going to happen if protests come to Pembroke? Who cares? I've got a lamp. I know who's in charge. I find as well that as it disperses darkness, it makes it to where the midnight's not as dark, but it also extends the working hours. October the 1st, we went outside so that we could see the harvest moon. I said, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? It's the harvest moon. The harvest moon was named the harvest moon before they had electricity. Jeremiah had asked us, he's like, Dad, why do they call it the harvest moon? I said, son, it was before tractors. it was before the time, and it's that one, and if you're getting into moonology and astrology and everything, it would be that time when the equinox and the everything's in the right alignment,